Good morning. It's good to see all of you here again on this, the first day of the week. It's especially good to see those of you who are visiting with us. You are our honored guests. And at this time, I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to the 86th Psalm. Psalm 86, and in verse 15 here, a psalm or a prayer of David, talking about the excellency of God, asking for God to hear his prayers, and he mentions how great and how wondrous God is, and he asks for God's protection in this psalm. And in verse 15 of Psalm 86, David writes, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." Yes, David recognize that the God we serve is a God that is full of compassion. And we see that he references that many times throughout the Psalms. When he talks about God and the God we worship, he describes God as a God of compassion. And we see that all throughout the Scriptures, and we especially see that when we look at the Son of God, when we look at Jesus, our Savior. We see that he was the epitome of compassion. We see that through his actions, through the miracles that he did, through the words that he spoke, all those things from Jesus, they revealed the true character of God, and they show through his actions and through his miracles that Psalm 86 and verse 15 is true, that the God we worship is a God full of compassion. In fact, when you go throughout the Gospels and you look at the life of Jesus, you're going to see this word used over and over again describing the motivations for the actions of Jesus, that the things he did for others and how he healed them and how he took care of them, he did it as a motivation of compassion. He felt compassion for them. In fact, in Mark 1, at the beginning of Mark's gospel, we can begin there and see one instance of Jesus being moved with compassion when he cleanses a man that was stricken with leprosy. Mark 1 and verse 40 says, "A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" So we see the compassion of Jesus reaching out, touching this man who was filled with leprosy, moved with compassion, it says, describing the motivation of Jesus there for healing the man with leprosy. Then a few chapters over, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and in verse 19. This, describing these first 20 verses, Jesus casting out demons from this demon-possessed man. And then after he does this, after he removes the demon from this man, he tells him in verse 19, he says, "However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends that and tell them the great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.'" So Jesus, after he heals this demon-possessed man, he says, "Go out and tell others about me. Go out and tell others about Jesus, the Son of God, and how he has compassion on all men." Matthew 14 in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 14. And in verse 14, in the context here, before he feeds the 5,000, it says, "When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick." In Mark 8 and verse 2, we see in that same context of him feeding the people, it says, he saw that they were hungry, and he was moved with compassion for them, and so he performed that miracle to feed them. And we see that also in Matthew 15. In verse 32, when Jesus feeds the 4,000 here, It says, Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Matthew 20 and verse 34, just one more example we see, and we could look at others, of the compassionate Christ, the compassionate Son of God. This is the instance of blind men, two blind men who Jesus, they come to Jesus and Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you in verse 32? In verse 33, they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. In verse 34, it says, Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So we see example after example after example of the compassionate Son of God, the compassionate Savior, that how David described God in Psalm 86, that He is a God full of compassion. And that is the God we serve. That is the Son of God that we serve and worship. And that compassion that Christ had, as we know, we are trying to imitate the Savior. We are trying to imitate Christ. That compassion that the Savior had, this should be the type of compassion that we have in our lives. It should be a characteristic we seek to develop, that grows within us, that we try to exhibit to all in our lives, the compassion that our Savior had. And when we talk about this word, most of us have a pretty good idea of what it means, but Vine defines this word as it's used in the New Testament as to have pity, a feeling of distress through the ills of others. So that's the idea of sympathy and empathy, that when you see another one is suffering, you feel that. You feel when one of your fellow brethren is suffering. You put yourself in their place, and you feel what they feel. And that's the type of relationship that we are to have with one another, that type of empathetic and sympathetic relationship. And we saw that with Christ, right? In all these examples, Christ, He felt and was sympathetic and empathetic to their pain, to the blind, to the disease that He healed, to the maimed, to the demon-possessed, even to the hungry, as we saw when He fed the 5,000 and He fed the 4,000. In all those instances, you know, when He described feeding the 4,000, He said, lest they faint on walking back to their homes, right? Because they had been following him for a long time. So He was empathetic to their position. He was compassionate to the needs that they had. And He was moved by that compassion to perform that miracle to feed them and to perform all those miracles that He did. Yes, Christ is the ultimate example that we have of one who exemplified this idea of what it means to be compassionate. And as we talk about it this morning, we must add that type of compassionate characteristic in our lives. In Colossians 3 and in verse 12, Paul, writing to these brethren at Colossae here, talks about what they needed to put on, the characteristics that they needed to add to their own lives. And in verse 12, Paul writes, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And that word there in verse 12, in the New King James there, it's translated, put on tender mercies. The Old King James uses the phrase, the bowels of mercy. The ESV uses the phrase there, have compassion. The NIV talks about being clothed with compassion. So this idea of tender mercies is this idea of having compassion on your fellow man. And that idea, as the Old King James puts it, the bowels of mercy, it's something you feel inside yourself, right? That's the idea of empathy. You feel it deep within you. When others are suffering, when other brethren are going through trials or they're mourning in their lives, you have that compassion that you feel that same type of way. You feel that same type of mourning that your brethren have. And you have that compassion on them. You seek to help them. You seek to love them. You seek to do whatever you can to try to alleviate the pain that they have. And that's what Paul is telling us as the new man in Christ, as we put on the new man in God. Part of that is putting on those tender mercies, putting on that compassion and that kindness and that meekness and that long-suffering as he describes there. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, he also tells us that we are to be compassionate one toward another. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, and be courteous. Yes, as brethren, as a family of God, Peter says we are to have that compassion one for another. It's not only, you know, the need is not only that we show compassion, but there's a need in our own lives, I believe, that others show compassion to us, right? We need that as individuals. We need people who are concerned about us, who care for us, who, when we are going through difficulties, when we are going through trials, when we are going through struggles, we need our fellow brethren there, people in our lives who are going to have that empathy, who are going to have that sympathy and show compassion to us. And when we have a family of God that acts in that way, we will have a strong brotherhood, that when we show compassion one to another, when that happens, we can function as a strong church and as a church that God intends us to be. You know, Luke chapter 6 is a good passage that describes the type of good that we should be doing towards one another, are the measure of how much good and how much charity and how much compassion we should be showing to one another, as Jesus is speaking here in Luke 6. It says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Then in verse 38, he describes here, he says, give and it will be given to you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So in verse 38, he describes how are we to be giving. What type of brethren are we to be in how we give to others? Not just monetarily here, but he's talking about of our time, of our love, of our compassion to one another. How does he describe it there in verse 38? Well, he describes it there, right? Of good measure. Then you press it down, right? If you've ever, you know, when I read this verse, I did some baking pretty much for the first time a few weeks ago. And when you bake, it says, I didn't know this the first time, when I made pancakes, I always pressed it down into the measuring cup. But when I read the instructions, it said you're not supposed to press it down, right? Because what does that do? It adds more of the flour or whatever to the cup. It said just get a knife or something and brush it all off. But what Christ is describing here, what is he describing? You get it, you press it down, you shake it out. It's as much as you can get, right? And not only that, he says, then have it overflowing, right? In verse 38, have it running over. So the good that we show to each other is, you know, the maximum amount, as much as we can, overflowing with goodness and compassion and love for our brethren. That's what he's describing here in verse 38. That idea of pressing it down, shaking it together, and then having it run over. That's the amount of compassion. That is the amount of love that it is overflowing. That is what we need to be showing in our lives to those around us. And like I said, in verse 38, he gets to that idea of when we show compassion to others, then most likely they in turn will show goodness and compassion back to us. As he says in verse 38, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, Matthew 7, and in verse 7, I'm starting to think that's not the right verse. Yeah, Matthew 5 and verse 7, I knew I had that wrong. Matthew 5 and verse 7, when he's talking about, in the Beatitudes, about us showing mercy, what does he say there? He says, blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall obtain mercy. That gets back to that idea of it's a twofold relationship, right? We show that mercy, we show that compassion, and in return, what will we receive? We'll receive that mercy. We'll receive that compassion from God, and we'll receive it from others. And we know when it comes to Christ, the mercy and the compassion that he showed us, that was necessary for us to lead the lives that we needed to lead. And also, we can make that same application then as brethren. We need that same mercy, and we need that same compassion in our own lives, shown to us by those all around us. Yes, we need to have that empathy. We need to have that love. We need to have that charity. We need to have that compassion one for another. Romans 12 and verse 15 talks about this idea of empathy. Talks about this idea of sharing and bearing with the trials of another. Romans 12 and verse 15. Paul writes to the Roman brethren here and he says simply, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's that idea of empathy, right? When you see your brethren rejoicing, when you see your brethren are happy, are rejoicing, as it says, we are to have that same feeling. We are to rejoice with them. We are to be happy for them. And then just in turn, when we see our brethren mourning, when we see our brethren, as it says, weep with those who weep, we feel their pain. We have compassion when they are going through the various trials and afflictions in their lives. Yes, we're moved by that. We're moved by others' trials. We're moved when people are mourning. We're moved by their afflictions. We're moved by their griefs. And we're moved by their struggles. And so are we as brethren, are we having the type of compassion that Jesus showed to those while he was here on this earth? The compassion that moved him to do so many things. Do we have that type of compassion and that type of love for our fellow brethren? But most importantly, when we talk about the life of Jesus and when we talk about the compassion that Jesus showed for us, the most important thing is he showed compassion on our spiritual state. He showed compassion on us when he recognized that we were spiritually lost, that we were in need of a shepherd, that we were in need of a Savior. Christ came down and he showed compassion for us and he provided us that Savior. He provided us that shepherd to guide us in our spiritual walk and to provide the sacrifice for our spiritual walk. In Mark chapter 6, here's another passage talking about the compassion of the Christ, the compassion of our Savior. And in this context, it's talking about how he saw the multitudes in need of a teacher, of an instructor, of a great shepherd. Mark 6, and in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to what? He began to teach them many things. So we see here Jesus, why was he moved with compassion for them this time? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. They needed instruction. They needed divine instruction. So Jesus was moved with compassion and he began to do what? He began to teach them many things. He began to teach them the way of life. Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 36, another example. In verse 35, we see Jesus going into all the cities and villages. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he's healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Then in verse 36, we see similar language to what we just read from the book of Mark. But Matthew writes here, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So again, another example of he saw people, he viewed mankind as being lost, of being in need of a shepherd. And then he speaks to his disciples to be, we need laborers out there going out and teaching God's word, because the harvest is plentiful. There are so many out there who are lost and who need to hear the teaching of Christ, who need to hear the teaching of God. So yes, we have a Savior who was a compassionate shepherd, a compassionate Savior. He was the one who saw mankind and the need for redemption. And he willingly came down to this earth to be that sacrifice, to be that shepherd for the needs of mankind. John chapter 10, in the Gospel of John, Jesus describes himself as this good shepherd. John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we see the type of compassion, the type of love that Jesus had for mankind, and the type of shepherd that he was going to be. It was a sacrificial type of shepherd, a sacrificial Savior, that he was willing to come to earth and to lay down his life for his sheep, for all of mankind. He saw that man was in danger, that man was in sin, that man was lost, that man was in iniquity, and he came down to lay his life down for us. You know, Isaiah 53, a psalm that, and not a psalm, a prophecy from Isaiah that references our Lord and Savior and what he did for us, shows this type of empathy and sympathy and compassion that Christ had for us in laying down his life for us. In Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we see here again the compassionate, loving Savior who saw what? He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He saw our place. He empathized with the position that we were in. He recognized that without his perfect sacrifice, man would be lost. And through compassion and through his love, he came down to this earth and he offered that sacrifice for us. It says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, because of our sins, because he saw us as lost, he saw us as condemned, he saw us as without hope. He came down to this earth moved by love, moved by compassion, and offered his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Yes, what a Savior. That's where, as I was doing this lesson, that's when I thought of that last song that Colby led for us. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. What love, what compassion that was dispensed to us through the Son of God coming down to this earth and suffering like he suffered because of his love and because of his compassion for us. You know, we studied Philippians 2 recently talking about humility. and we see what Christ did for us. He left that home in heaven. He left the right hand of God and all the privileges that were afforded him there. And he assumed humanity, right? He assumed flesh. And he came down to this earth and then was tempted at all points as we were and yet did not sin. And then he went even further. He showed his love and compassion even more for us, and that he gave up his life on the cross to save his sheep, to be the good shepherd, to be the redeemer of our souls. You know, we talk about this. This is another way that Christ can empathize with us and show compassion on us. When we talk about from Philippians 2 that he came down and put on flesh, right? He put on mankind. And because he put on flesh and he put on mankind, he's able to sympathize with what we go through, right? He understands the temptations and the difficulties and the trials that we face here in this life. In fact, it's the writer of Hebrews who tells us that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yes, our high priest, our Savior, Jesus, came down in the flesh, right? And through doing that, he can sympathize with the temptations that we face, right? Because he faced them. Satan tempted him just as Satan tempts us. And so he can sympathize with those temptations. He can sympathize with those trials. He can sympathize with the difficulties of life that we face. Yes, that is the type of high priest. That is the Savior that we serve. He sympathizes with us. He knows the challenges of overcoming and battling Satan and overcoming the temptations of sin. He knows all those things. And he showed compassion and love towards us by dealing with those things, by fighting against those things, and by eventually offering himself as a sacrifice for us. That's the type of Savior that we serve. That's the type of God that we serve, one who can sympathize and empathize with all parts of our lives. Yes, Jesus. Jesus was the compassionate shepherd. And we see that the idea of a shepherd really is a motif that you see all throughout scriptures, isn't it? And in the very beginning, we see most of the patriarchs, or a lot of the patriarchs, they were shepherds. And we see what it means to be a good shepherd. And then when you talk about our Lord, when you talk about the good shepherd that we serve, we reference John 10, where he describes himself as the good shepherd. But we all know Psalm 23 very well, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all the things that the Lord does for us, he restores our soul. He gives us everything that we need. He is our good shepherd. And like I said, he continues that theme in the Gospels and in John 10, as we have read. And in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation in 7, he continues this idea of our good shepherd, of the compassionate shepherd. Revelation 7 and verse 16 says, they shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. So we see this idea all throughout scriptures of the Lord being a compassionate and loving shepherd, teaching us, guiding us into all truth, and eventually sacrificing his life, laying down his life, showing that much compassion and love for us so that we can have the forgiveness of sins and so that we can have redemption. So as we conclude and think about compassion in our own lives, are we showing the type of compassion that we need to be showing towards our brethren? When we look at the example of Jesus, when we think about his compassion, one lesson we learn is that it was active. It was shown through his works. It was shown through his deeds, right? And so in our lives, our compassion that we show towards others, it has to be seen through what we do. It has to be seen through our works. It has to be seen in how we act towards others. When we think about that Romans 12 passage again, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When we think about that passage in Matthew 5, blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall be given mercy. That's the type of compassion that we need to be showing. It needs to be active in our life. And like we read from Luke chapter 6, it needs to be overflowing in our lives. So the good that we do towards others needs to be overflowing. And also, what about when we think about the lost? When we think about those who are lost all around us, are we showing compassion to them? Do we have the compassion of the Savior? When we think about Christ and what He did for us, that should motivate us to show compassion to others, because that was Christ's whole mission, to come down for all of mankind. When we know that all of mankind has sinned, and yet Christ still willingly came down, moved with compassion, do we have that same compassion to those who are lost, to those who are on the outside? They need us to share God's Word with them. That's the greatest compassion that we can show to them, is giving them the gospel, telling them the words of God, giving them the gospel message, spreading the light of God's Word in the community around us. That is how we can show compassion to the world around us. You know, it's easy for us to condemn. That's the easy thing to do, to condemn all those in sin around us. That's easy. That takes a little effort. Sometimes it takes a lot more effort to be like Christ and to show that compassion and try to reach out with the Word of God to save men's souls, because that is what men need. That is why Christ came here. He was the great physician to those in sin, trying to bring them into a right relationship with God. You know, that's the type of Savior He was. When He talks about the Jews, when He talked about how His compassion for them and how they rejected Him, His desire was to gather them up, right? His desire was to take them in, to shelter them, but they denied Him. But we see the compassion He had when He talks about them in Matthew 23 and in verse 37. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." That's the type of love that Christ had. He wants to gather all men. He wants to save all men. And we know that. We know that's the type of compassion that God has from 2 Peter 3 and in verse 9, that God is not slack concerning His promises, but desires that all men come to repentance, that all men come to Him. That's the Savior we serve, a compassionate, loving Savior that desires all to be saved. Do we extend that same compassion? Do we extend that same love to others out in the world and how we interact and how we deal with them? Let's think about these things this morning. Let's think about the compassion of our Savior. Let's think about the compassion that we show to others in our own lives. I thank you for your kind attention this morning. At this time, we will be dismissed to our classes.